Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast. This is your host, Jamil Hassan, the crypto hipster, where I'm bringing you the crypto corner, where I interview founders, thought leaders, entrepreneurs, artists, musicians, you name it, in crypto and blockchain around the world. And today, I'm in New York, and my guest is on the other side of the world. It's going to be an honor to introduce him. He is the chief executive officer of My Metaverse. And make sure I pronounce his name correctly. It's Simon. And the last name is Corten Igoro, right?
Yeah, close enough. I think that you say it Corten Igoro, but I don't have the accent for it, so I'm not 100% sure.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show today. Pleasure to have you on. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Let's kick things off. Simple question. What is your background, and is it a logical background for what you do now?
You wouldn't assume so initially, but when I think back on transferable skills, it's actually quite amazing, like how skills can and perspectives can transfer across industries when used correctly, and when you think about how you develop your skills in a productive way. In my past, I was actually I taught myself web development and web design when I was 14 and everything. So this is pretty clearly transferable, because you know it's development, it's a form of technology. It was a very early form of technology, and also just the ability to research things on the fly, search the web and find information and teach yourself based on what you read. I think that's taken me everywhere I needed to go, just as a very basic seek the answers yourself first and then ask the questions next, and I think that's something that is very, very common in the crypto space, and I think that's very empowering for people, and I really love that about the crypto space. There's so much information out there for everyone, including this podcast. After that, I kind of realized that I'm more geared towards communicating with people than PCs. So I end up getting into business development and on the more sales side. But I was always very product orientated. I realized that I couldn't really sell something I didn't believe in, and so I became really interested in finding things that I believed in, and then building, you know, partnerships and networks and results based on those products. And it was normally on a business to business kind of perspective. And in business to business, if you sell a product and the company ends up hating it, your life becomes hell because you're stuck with each other. So in a way, it's kind of like a marriage. So that's really helped me kind of gain a perspective on the kind of products that I want to be a part of, and the kind of products that I eventually wanted to help create. And that's where I am today, where I know how to kind of dig into what people really need, what's going to solve their problems. I know how to understand people's perspectives, and now I have a great team that can help us bring the solutions and bring it into reality, the solutions that they need as well. So all of it's been incredibly transferable. It's just the only question becomes which part of the organization do you fit best in? And just so happens that I'm pretty well set up to be able to lead an amazing team of who I consider to be geniuses, really.
Awesome. So my wife asked me tonight who I'm interviewing tonight, and I said, I'm interviewing the creator of the metaverse. And she said, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook? No, he didn't create the metaverse. So let me ask you this. What is My Metaverse and all about? How does it work, a relationship, and a relationship to Engine and your prior experience with them?
Yeah, so my belief is that the metaverse will be decentralized. There'll be hundreds of thousands of companies helping to build up this ecosystem together. And one definitive factor of the metaverse is that it's going to have real value inside it. The metaverse literally can't matter if you can't earn money or transact in a very meaningful way. If you're feeling like you're wasting time in games or in apps and you're not actually getting any kind of value that can impact your life positively, it's not a metaverse, because you can't really spend any amount of time there without being basically motivated to leave, essentially, and therefore it becomes basically a tax on your real life, and that's not a good thing. So as the internet becomes more important, as digital platforms become more important, real value needs to run through them, and by and large, the most secure and transparent and reliable way to manage real value is on the blockchain. And that's always been Engine's mission, is making it very, very easy to create real value, integrate it into games and apps, and have it on the blockchain, secure, immutable, unchangeable. And they've created this ecosystem over the last 4 years that is the easiest ecosystem to adopt. And it has, over 70 amazing games and apps adopting it right now. And that's because of how easy it is and how robust it is and how seamlessly it kind of fits into like mainstream games and apps. Like if you want to create like, a game that feels like a normal game, like, if you wanted to integrate like NFTs into Fortnite or something like this, like, a commercial style game, Engine would be the easiest way to do it, because you'd be wanting to provide like a user experience that people are used to, essentially. You wouldn't really want to be giving them like really confusing wallets and really confusing mechanisms and this kind of thing. So that's what Engine does, and that's why I really believed in them, because I really thought that if any game, my business to business mentality came in, and I was thinking that if any game's going to be like huge, massive, then it's going to have to appeal to normal people, everyday people that don't want to spend months and months researching and working out how to get into this ecosystem. They just want to jump in, play some games, earn some real value, and then carry on with their lives. So I saw that Engine was providing those tools to the developers, and I thought, okay, so this makes sense. Like, developers can succeed with these tools, and therefore I basically harassed Engine to give me a job since 2018, and maybe it took me like 6 months or something, but I end up getting a job with them and helping them build their certain parts of their business, especially on the marketing side and the business development side. From there, I kind of became jealous of a lot of the games that were getting involved with the Engine ecosystem. They got to create these amazing virtual worlds with real value running through them. They got to try to actually create solutions where they could try to essentially change people's lives. Like someone from a developing nation could come in, potentially play some games, earn a little bit of money, and then maybe they can, maybe that can put some food on the table for them. This is literally happening, and it's been happening for decades, actually, with games like RuneScape, which are really, heavily, like, this is actually a centralized game, but like, there's people in Venezuela that have been living off it for decades. So I see that, I saw that potential, and I'm like, I really want to be a part of that solution. And I really think that finding the right people, working with them, building new products that go on top of Engine's ecosystem. So Engine's like the base foundation, and then we're building, so if Engine is like, they've built an island, and then we're trying to build a building on it, kind of thing. So we're using their technology to build games, and then NFTs are running through those games. And those NFTs are created using the Engine platform, and they're going to be running on their new blockchain, which is called the Affinity Network. So all of that really, it's really like it pieces together perfectly. It's in line with what I've always believed in. It allows me to maintain a really great relationship with Engine, who I love as people and developers and visionaries. and the engine community, who I love for the same reason. You know, a lot of the best ideas I've had and the teams had have come from them. So in general, it's just an extension of what I've always been doing, to be honest with you.
Great. So that leads, that one word leads me into my next question. What is eFinity and how does that work?
So eFinity is really exciting. eFinity is like a next generation blockchain, which is developed with NFTs like on the base layer of the blockchain. So if you think about Ethereum, right? Ethereum, the base layer of the blockchain, it runs the mechanics for you to trade Ethereum, but it also runs the mechanics for the smart contract platform. And then on top of that, then there's all of this logic and complicated mechanics that allows you to write smart contracts. And then in that smart contract platform, then you have DeFi, NFTs, cryptocurrencies, DAIs, and all of these crazy, like, you know, some amazing inventions and some crazy inventions that simply, like, they're fundamentally like very, very, very different from how an NFT works. So Engine kind of just takes away the need to remove that. It takes away for your NFTs to need to compete with someone's DeFi transaction and just puts it all on the base layer of the Affinity blockchain, where it's nice and neat, nice and efficient. The optimizations they can make there, because you don't have all of these mechanics running the smart contract layer, and then on top of that, the NFT layer, and then everything there. It's just the blockchain's running, and then NFTs are being able to be minted straight on the core blockchain layer. People can trade them. There's going to be a marketplace on the core blockchain layer. All of the things you need to really mechanize and manage your NFTs and create games around NFTs and apps around NFTs and also cryptocurrencies as well. So that's not to be forgotten. There's going to be a lot of value in the cryptocurrencies on that chain as well. But all of that is running on the base layer. And the other really great thing about that, when someone deploys an NFT smart contract, right? Sure, it's on the blockchain. Sure, it's immutable. Sure, if you want, you can go in there and you can look at the ones and zeros and see if the NFT smart contract is legitimate and there's no exploits or something like this. But does anyone really do that? No, they don't. Like, they're still trusting the NFT creators to deploy valid smart contracts that aren't exploitable. What eFinity does by putting it on the base blockchain and giving creators templates to work with is you're just a creator. You just go, okay, I'm gonna do this type of NFT. It gets launched. You don't need to trust that creator. The entire blockchain, you don't need to hire an auditor to make sure the NFT isn't exploitable. It's all just nice and secure on the base layer of the blockchain. And so it's technically a lot more secure, way more efficient. Like, literally, eFinity, I think the last benchmarks that they did in alpha was allowing them to mint 120 million NFTs every 12 seconds, which, when you compare that to Ethereum's 70 transactions per second, we're talking millions of times faster. So it's really an amazing network. It's all made possible thanks to Polkadot, which is like a security mechanism for blockchains. So Polkadot is created by the CTO of Ethereum called Gavin Wood. So he was the original CTO of Ethereum. He did a lot of the complex work. He built the smart contract machine that I was calling inefficient just 5 seconds ago. And then he realized that it was inefficient. And then he created something, a new solution called Polkadot. And then eFinity is actually leveraging that. So I kind of think about Polkadot as the next kind of technological advancement over and above Ethereum. I still think all blockchains will exist and will continue to exist and will need to exist. But as time goes on, they are always getting better and better. But the beautiful thing about eFinity and Polkadot is they are upgradable as well through community governance. So if me and you, we own some of these tokens, we can vote to upgrade them so they can get better and better with time as well as technology continues to march on. So yeah, I hope that helps.
It does. And I have one follow-up there, and it's a simple one. The native token on eFinity is Polkadot or Engine or something else, something different?
all cryptocurrencies and all NFTs will be native on the Affinity blockchain. So they will no longer be tokens on a smart contract. They will actually, like, if you wanted to create your own NFT or cryptocurrency, you would press the mint button, you'd choose a template, you'd go through whatever process it is, and it would actually run on the base layer of the Affinity blockchain. Where on the Ethereum blockchain, the only one token that can do that is Ethereum. Everything else is on the smart contract layer. So when you process a transaction on Ethereum, you'll notice that you send some Ethereum and the transaction fee is significantly less than when you send some ERC20 tokens or when you send an NFT. And this is because if you think of it like a highway, for example, this is because the Ethereum is just running on the highway where if you want to think of an ERC20 token, it's more like the ERC20 token and the NFTs, they're on a truck that's running on the highway. It's stuck on a truck and the truck would be the smart contract machine. So that's one kind of way to think about it. But EngineCoin and Affinity will be on EngineCoin and Affinity token will be on the Affinity blockchain. But so will all the other cryptocurrencies and NFTs as well. And they'll run as efficiently as you could have ever imagined them running. Like this is purpose built for this purpose. They're taking their time. The more I find out about what they've achieved after every kind of development update, I read these development updates and I'm just like, oh my goodness, these are the guys to do this. Like, this is perfect, amazing. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for explaining. So let's talk about, in that case, scalability and security, right? So some foreseeable challenges, you know, with the metaverse specifically are those two things. You know, what advancements in these two areas will make the metaverse very successful?
So scalability is... The scalability and security is being looked at quite heavily. I don't want to sound like I'm too like biased against one thing, right? I don't want to be just saying Affinity and Affinity is perfectly scalable and perfectly secure and all of this, but I'll tell you, I guess I could frame it like this. Like when I think about scalability, I think millions and millions of transactions per second running on the base blockchain, layer one. So this is a layer one solution. You can then have layer two above that, and then you can get further optimizations. I think that's incredibly scalable. I think that can support a massive user base. Not going to go out and say it could support everyone in the world. I still think that there's space for multiple blockchains. So I think scalability is taken care of with Affinity and Polkadot working together with these numbers that are showing right now. Now the security, that opens the question, well, is it secure? Because there's always been an assumption that there's a trade-off between scalability and security. And for the most part, there is. But with how Gavin Wood, who is the CTO, who was the CTO of Ethereum, who's now developed Polkadot, with how his which is what's enabled Affinity to be created, with how Gavin Wood has created this technology, it's actually quite amazing. Like, for example, if you wanted, so when you think about security, right, the only really risk to a blockchain is that it can be stopped. So this is the only question that I really ask, like, is it unstoppable or not? Because like if someone's going to perform a 51% attack on Ethereum or on Bitcoin, the only really thing that they can do after successfully performing a 51% attack is either just stop it or they can roll it back, but roll it back one transaction until they perform that 51% attack. So in this situation, it's not like they can break the rules of the blockchain and just say, move $1 billion from here and move it to there. All they can do is just switch back one transaction that's already occurred. So if I traded $1 billion of EngineCoin for $1 billion of Affinity tokens, I go to all of this effort to perform a 51% attack, and all I can do is just swap that transaction back. So I had to have the power to make the transaction in the first place. So that so the ability to kind of just cheat on the blockchain is kind of limited just by how it's developed and how it's you need to cryptographically sign every single transaction anyway, and everything is on a historical ledger that's just moving forward one block at a time, and you perform the 50% one attack and all you can do is move it back a couple of blocks. So really the only question becomes, like, if like say a government, or like, you know, a government that doesn't like freedom and doesn't like transparency wants to get involved and start to perform a 51% attack to try to shut the blockchain down, that's the only real risk in my view. So now it becomes, what does it take to do that, right? So like a little thought experiment, if you wanted to shut Ifinity down, so Ifinity runs with 8 different collator nodes. You need to do 100% attack on those 8 collator nodes. You need, so these are 8 collator nodes that have a proof of stake verification mechanism, and you need to vote for 8 collator nodes to run the chain essentially, and all 8 of your collator nodes need to run the chain for you to create untrustworthy transactions essentially. So that blows my mind thinking about how hard that would be, because like the minute we start noticing that someone's trying to do that, we're just going to be like, hey, someone's trying to perform an attack on the Ifinity network, stop selling your EFI tokens to them. stake my metaverse collator node, because we're going to have a collator node, and we're going to promote it, and obviously it's going to be a very trusted collator node, unless I go crazy and get stuck in a mint, and something happens. But yeah, like I believe that it's going to be fundamentally like, just I can't even comprehend like what a government would have to go through to try to take over all 8 collator nodes. Like you'd literally have to just create a whole bunch of money, destroy your own economy, like turn Ifinity into a $1 trillion asset, buy out all of the people that are holding it, take over all 8 of the collator nodes, and then yes, you can start to just shut down the network, and that's all you can do. In the meantime, like everyone that was holding Ifinity would just be like, well, it was worth it, you know. And so, yeah, the other kind of discussion that happens a lot, the other assumption is that proof of work is the more efficient, is the more secure kind of blockchain. And I'm not really sure about that, to be honest with you, because so if you wanted to perform a 51% on the Bitcoin network, what you've got to do is you've got to essentially create a bunch of solar panels, create a bunch of electricity, maybe have like a minor manufacturing facility. If like say an authoritarian government wanted to take over the Bitcoin network, if they set up all of that infrastructure without anyone knowing it, and then they're just pumping out miners, it becomes a race to arms where you've got to keep developing electricity, and it's essentially proof of stake in a more inefficient way, because whoever has the most money wins in both kind of wars. Essentially it just becomes harder to fight that kind of thing, because if someone was going to attack a proof of work work system, they would set up a lot of the infrastructure necessary without you even knowing it, and then by the time they're gaining momentum and taking over the entire network by mining more blocks than everyone else, then it's going to be hard for you to counteract that by creating enough miners or buying enough miners, acquiring enough electricity, all of this kind of thing. So either way, it's very, very hard to do. But I think like potentially proof of work is, I wouldn't say that any other network is more secure than Bitcoin, but I would say that if any other network was trying to do proof of work, they wouldn't be as secure as if they were doing proof of stake instead.
Well, you did say, you know, on a recent podcast, I'm going to quote you, we live to push limits, right? So what limits would you like to see pushed? Which ones are you currently pushing? you know, what should we be pushing that we're not?
I'd say the most important limits to push is really like user experience. So basically, when it comes down to it, like the blockchain is very, very hard to use right now. We need to make sure that people are getting their are really enjoying their time on the blockchain, and it's really like not only the same as what they used to experience, but better. And in this scenario, like this is the only way we can really win. And I think how we need to do this is by really pushing our own limits as to what kind of negative feedback we're open to receiving from people. Really kind of digging in, seeking negative feedback, trying to work it, trying to understand. These are all of the problems that everyone has with the crypto space and with the NFT space. Okay, so maybe they're not. The way they identify the problem or identify the potential solution isn't the right way, but surely like their perspective is valid in some way, and we need to push ourselves to really listen to them and solve these. So right now, you know, we have a lot of people that are really up in arms about the environmental cost of NFTs, and I think we should push the limits there. We should push the limits to make sure that all NFTs that we use are completely environmentally sustainable. I know my metaverse, we purchase carbon credits to make sure that we're offsetting any environmental costs that we create for the planet. But on top of that, we want to actually get to a point where we're not even we don't even need to offset, because everything's just carbon neutral in the first place. And then any offset that we do is over and above that. And then on top of that, there's a lot of issues with people having their art stolen in the real world, and then people are making NFTs of that. You know, we need to really innovate and push the limits and make sure that people are protected, so that they're not so kind of angry about what's happening in the NFT space. So these are the kind of problems that I'm really focused on solving right now, and I feel privileged to be able to try to address them. But I think it really takes some honest and a kind of honest look at ourselves and trying to not be so defensive all the time. And just try to solve the problems that people raise. Maybe they don't raise them in a very constructive way, but you know, we can still take that as feedback and try to you know, use our imagination to channel it in a positive way, you know.
So you said something there and go that you know, you said people are looking to be protected. But I think in order to create the metaverse, we really have to empower people. So how can you have that, develop that empowerment mindset at the same time people are afraid and need to be protected? How do you break through that, you know, that, I guess it's the, you know, left brain, right brain, or juggernaut, immovable object, unstoppable force? How do you navigate that spot, you know?
Yeah. That's really hard. I think the best way to empower people is to really to try to encourage a growth mentality. I think games actually inherently do that, because you know, all games is about growth and evolution, really. Like, you know, you start, like every game takes you on a hero's journey. You start as a villager who's, you know, who's scrounging around for food, and then you level up, you level up and then you can become a blacksmith and you start crafting these higher level weapons, and then you become a knight and you can use bigger weapons. Then you start slaying these huge beasts, and then suddenly you save the whole kingdom and you're the hero, you know? I think that I think that a lot of my growth mindset and my ability to seek negative feedback has come from, like, you know, back when I was in, you know, before my teens and I was in gaming, you know. I think this is probably the biggest thing that taught me. Like, games taught me to grow and taught me that growth is a part of finishing the game of life, or whatever it is. So I'm hoping that is true and not just my cognitive bias saying that. I guess we'll see, and I think that there's ways for us to add metaphors into our games that more or less directly explain, like, hey, yeah, this is how the game works. Do this in real life too. It's a good thing. And then on top of that as well, you know, the hardest part of thinking about making a play to earn game where people are actually, you know, going to earn some money out of it is that the money has to come from somewhere, right? Like other, like you can't, I think this is a big thing that confuses gamers as well. Like, wait. So everyone's going to play the game and everyone's going to make money? No, that's not possible. It's still an economy that doesn't happen in the real world. It doesn't happen in any economy in the world. So basically, really, the way that I look at it is we're a game developer. Web3 allows us to direct some of the value away from us that we would normally take all of it, and we direct some to the community instead. That's how I see it. So instead of people only buying assets from us as the developer, they can buy them from each other as well. You know, it's not like everyone that plays the game is going to quit their jobs and just play games for the rest of their lives. Maybe in the future when everything is just incredibly cheap or something like this, maybe in the future, like 50 years from now, when you know, the cost of food and shelter is negligible, maybe that could be possible, but not today. And these arguments are valid, but the arguments are kind of asking the wrong questions. It's like, are we trying to make sure that everyone in the world can have a better gaming experience? Absolutely, yes. Are we trying to make sure that everyone in the world can have more motivation to help each other in the game and create a flourishing community by providing each other value and sharing the value amongst each other? Absolutely, yes. Are we trying to make sure everyone in the world can quit their jobs tomorrow and play our game? Not going to happen. So yeah, that's what it really comes down to.
Awesome. Well, this has been a great conversation, and I learned a lot today, and I really enjoyed speaking with you. I have one further question, and that is, how can people find out more information about you, about My Metaverse, about Eufinity? How can they contact you or play some games? How can they do all that?
So if they want to find out more about My Metaverse, they can go to mymetaverse.io. That's it's mymetaverse.io. I don't feel like I need to spell it for you, but on the website there, you can find that we do have a Minecraft server that's currently already running. So Minecraft, obviously, it's a great game, classic. You can actually use your NFTs in Minecraft. You can run around, ride on a mount that's actually an NFT, use NFT weapons, NFT gear. You can create NFT land plots, which is really cool, and then build a house and then actually own it for real and resell it to someone else if you want to, which is really fun. And this is all free to play. You know, we're not trying to monetize Minecraft. We want to set an example of we want the creators of Minecraft to see what we've done and be like, oh yeah, this is a good idea. I don't think that this is a bad thing at all. So we're trying to be really be really like free to play and very community centric with that one. The next one is going to be like more of a play to earn kind of ecosystem. It's called My Meta MMO. Like it's actually going amazingly, and it's going to be a big MMO metaverse where you can cruise through multiple worlds, build land, create NFT land plots in those worlds as well, and also have NFT characters that are actually breedable. So there's like six different species, and then you can create like infinite different combinations of characters as your avatars, and you can breed them together and create, you know, the perfect avatar for you, and then create a home for those avatars. You can own multiple of them. So it's kind of like it's like a cross between Sims and like an MMO. So Sims is like this place where you can build your own house and build your own experience. So it's kind of like that, except it's an open world MMO, and you can go visit other people's houses and all of this kind of thing. So it's actually been amazingly fun building this, and we're really excited. I think we're going to have a demo out for that within the next month or so. And when you want to find out about Eufinity, that is spelled Eufinity.io. And when you want to find out about Engine, that's spelled Enjin.io. So Engine is a NFT development platform. When you adopt Engine, you can mint NFTs on Ethereum or Affinity or JumpNet. You can create, and this is a way for you to easily make NFTs, easily integrate them into your games and apps. Affinity is a next generation NFT blockchain. So they are two kind of parallel ecosystems that complement each other just perfectly. And together we're going to see some really great innovations and some amazing user experiences coming.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. Great to meet you.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Irish_Tech News, on Facebook, facebook.com/Irish Tech News, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.